Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. And they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing and crying out with a loud voice, came out. And they were all amazed. So they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread through everywhere, throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. There's a great story of Christian Herder, who was a governor of Massachusetts, and he was running hard for his second term. One day, after a busy morning of chasing votes and no lunch, he arrived at a church barbecue. It was late in the afternoon, and Herder was famished. As he moved down the line, he held out his plate to the woman serving chicken, and she put a piece on his plate, and then turned to the next person in line to give them theirs. And Governor Herder said, "Excuse me, do you mind if I have another piece of chicken?" "Sorry," the woman told him, "I'm supposed to only give out one piece of chicken to each person." But the governor said, "I'm starved." And the woman said, "Sorry, only one to each customer." Governor Herder was a modest and unassuming man, but he decided this was the moment that he was going to throw a little bit of weight around. "Do you know who I am?" he said. "I'm the governor of the state." And she looked at him and said, "Do you know who I am? I'm the lady in charge of the chicken. Move along, mister." Power, power, who has the power? Now, good for that lady. She had the power. She had power over the distribution of chicken, but that was power nevertheless. Power is such an important part of life, and it comes in many ways, in many forms. There are parts of us, part of our being, that want to be around power or want power. And we know when power, when we see it, when we experience it in its varied forms. But today I want us to explore what made Jesus' teaching powerful. We see in the passage from Mark, by the way people responded to Jesus and his teaching, that there was something different. The people who heard him said it was different because it had authority. But another way to say that was the teaching was unlike the scribes and other teachers of the law. Jesus' teaching was authentic. It was real. We respond when something is authentic, when it's consistent within itself. There's power in authentic things. I think we really see and understand this because a lot of our mainstream culture, a lot of the world around us, tends to be the opposite. We have figures that maybe talk a good talk, but then they do the exact opposite. And this is politicians, preachers, pastors, teachers, everyone. We have people that hit the scene and spin a good game, talk about how they're going to change things, and say they're going to do things differently than bland. It turns out they were just the same. They were doing the exact same thing that they came out so hard against. This collective experience has made us fickle, cynical, and not trusting, and rightly so. Why should we? But this idea is not true for Jesus. What we see in this story from the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark is that Jesus brought something new, something powerful, something authentic, a teaching that is real, right, and very different than what was around at the time. And this teaching, this way of seeing God, the way of seeing and being in the world, gives him and us something amazing. His teaching gives us and all the power to do. This teaching has the power to change things within us and without us. Now, the teaching described in this passage was, they look at each other and they say, this is something new, a new teaching, but I think we all know the adage that there's nothing new under the sun. And this teaching of Jesus was no different. It was kind of new to the hearers, but what he says is, you, what Jesus is saying, you can find, you know, woven intrinsically throughout all of the Hebrew scriptures. Mark does not give us the content of Jesus' passage and what he's talking of, you know, but what I mean by that, he doesn't say, was he talking about Genesis? Was he talking about the prophets? But there was something different with his teaching. And we can find examples of the difference between Jesus' teaching and the teaching of the scribes elsewhere in the gospel tradition. Later on in Mark, you know, Jesus asks the scribes why the Messiah is the son of David, when the scripture indicates that David calls the Messiah Lord. Scripture itself suggests that the scribes' traditional interpretation is not adequate. Jesus is suggesting that what the Messiah is may break that traditional mold. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus doesn't hesitate to suggest that traditional interpretation of the commandments is not adequate. What God demands is for us to go beyond what was being required at the time, that the law, the rules, only useful to a point, but there's a great law. So the way that Jesus was teaching, it was new, but it wasn't new, if you know what I mean. It was just that things had gotten so stale, so blah, so same old, same old. People hadn't heard this teaching in so long, they had been surrounded by the opposite, that it felt new and it felt fresh. They had been told how to interpret the Word of God or how to understand God in their life, and any deviation from that, anytime anybody deviated from that understanding, they were met with rejection, dejection, and ridicule. So they kind of went along. So what made this teaching powerful? Well, first, it was useful. People responded to Jesus' teaching that was unlike the teaching because it was useful. Jesus, no matter what part of Scripture he was teaching on, he would say things that actually applied to the daily life of those listening. How frustrated they must have been if the teachings they were surrounded by didn't answer these simple questions of life. Time and time again, walking away from hearing a scribe teach on a passage and then muttering to themselves, how is this useful? How novel that the teaching would be useful. I remember my friend in college who was a philosophy major, and this is no offense to philosophy majors out there. He's a super genius, no doubt, and he would delve into these amazing, we'd be talking, and he'd delve into these amazingly elaborate schools of thinking. And I can't say that I understood all of what he was talking about, because I'd be lying, but I understood some of the things, and so then I'd say, okay, how does this work in real life? I mean, not in real life, but how does this work in life? Like, how do you use what you understand from this teaching to make an ethical decision in your life? And he would laugh and he'd say, oh, it doesn't help with that. And I thought, oh, good. You know, what good is it then? Jesus' teaching was different because it applied to life. People heard it and said that it's something that will make my life better, different. It spoke into their daily needs, their daily worries. It was useful. Another way that Jesus' teaching was powerful was it was freeing. Another, you know, it was different because it has authority. Now, we sometimes don't associate authority with freeing. The word for authority, which, you know, is kind of related to this Greek verb, which is, it is free or it is permitted. That's what the word authority here that they're talking about. In other words, it means sovereign freedom of one who acts without hindrance. And that's what authority is. God has highest authority because God can do whatever God wants to do. But Jesus' teaching is sovereign freedom is contrasted with that of the scribes. The difference is that the scribes' authority depended on their knowledge and adherence to tradition, the interpretation of the Torah. But Jesus' teaching was independent or had an authority from God, but the scribes were bound to tradition. Jesus is relatively free in a way that only ones who live directly from and to God's authority are free. Instead of the rules and laws being weights on people's shoulders, Jesus was teaching about God's law of love, which gave wings to soar. Instead of refraining from doing something as a rule against it, Jesus refrained saying, you're free to do it, but you don't do it because you love this other person. That's freedom to choose not to. Can we see that? It's a little bit different, but there's a difference there. The difference between saying, don't do this because it's wrong, or don't do this, as opposed to, I'm choosing not to do this because I care about this other person. But Jesus taught and said, look how the flow of life, what makes this teaching true and freeing is, look around you. Look how, when you live this out, what it looks like. And that proves that it's true and right. The proof is in the pudding, so to speak. Jesus' teaching had people seeing how you experience the world around you makes these things ring true. Love your neighbor as a rule, as a law, has authority, because if you live it out, if you experience it, it's true. If you love your neighbor, it's helpful. It makes everything better. The teaching was powerful because it was useful. Jesus' teaching was powerful because it was freeing, but the thing that made it most powerful was that it remains authentic. Teaching was useful and freeing, but more than that, it wasn't hypocritical. We see in this story, because Jesus didn't talk about healing, saving, loving, and then go on ignoring people who needed healing, saving, loving. He walked the walk and he talked the talk. It was authentic. People responded strongly to that. Because a person who was ostracized, rejected, and seen as worthless came to the place where they should be expected to be loved, cared for, and safe, and they usually were rejected, but not with Jesus. Jesus, out of compassion and care, says, "This teaching is true. The things I'm talking to you are true. They're authentic. Because I'll show you. I'm going to heal this person. I'm not just going to say I love this person. I'm going to show them that I love them. I'm not going to say that this person is valuable or a part of the community. I'm going to show it through my actions." But we usually know what this looks like, but it's usually the opposite. There was a church I knew that they would go and do a meal at a shelter, a home like for homeless or for those who are struggling. And the people there would go and they'd make the food in the kitchen and they'd serve the food and smile and be happy and all those things, but no one would sit down and eat with people. They would actually all go out to eat together afterwards, and the disconnect there was hard. It's difficult because it was talking about how much you love your neighbor, but yet you're not going to sit and eat the very food that you're serving to them. And that's kind of what the opposite of what Jesus is teaching and what Jesus is talking about. It has the power to do, and it amazes all that are there because they can tell hypocrisy. If the scriptures say care for the least, care for the ones who need it, and then tosses them out and just to go on teaching about how we're supposed to care, there's a disconnect and people don't respond. Can you see why Jesus' teaching would be powerful and why it's powerful? Because it's still true. We have the same power. We have the same power to do because we follow the same teaching that Jesus taught. When we take on this mantle of servanthood, we have this same power. Jesus' authority was derived by the fact that his teaching and understanding grounded in love and was outwardly focused. And we have this same thing when we are serving the way that Jesus is serving, when we're doing it to help other people. Allow me to put on my nerd hat more than usual. I don't know if people like superheroes or comic books, but the Green Lantern is one of my favorite comic book heroes. And it was growing up, I loved it. I actually wanted to get a Green Lantern wedding ring. My wife vetoed that, which is pretty wise. But I love the Green Lanterns. And what they are is they're kind of this universal police, but they have these rings. And the ring can make anything they can imagine. But the catch is they can only use it to protect, bring light, help people. They can't use the power of the ring to help themselves. And I see that as our call too. We have this power to help people. We have the power to do that Jesus does. But we have to be using it to help people in order for it to work. We have the same power to bring healing spiritually, emotionally. So we have this access to the same power the way Jesus did out of our love for others. And it's this message, once again, that has the power. It's the message that has, Jesus was amazing, was a gift and the example we strive for in all of us. But the gospel, the message, the teaching is the powerful thing. The good news that love will win, that all will be made whole, that all are loved and forgiven. That's the thing that's, we're not powerful. That's the thing that's powerful. That God loves us beyond anything we understand. That no matter how bad things look, there'll be a time where they're not. That's the powerful message. That's the power to do. This message has the power to do, the power to change the world. And it has changed our worlds and it can change the world around us. Jesus' ministry brought blessings to people, health and healing. And his authority, had this irresistible power that people were drawn to, not through being manipulated or tricked, but just because of the power of the message, the power of the truth of the message. This was not a claim to authority that was anything that could be verified at the time, but it was something that was very clear to all who were around him. In a worldly sense, the amazing thing about this passage and the amazing thing about following Jesus is Jesus didn't have any, in the worldly sense, he didn't have any power at all. He wasn't a worldly king with political or military power. He didn't have a military behind him. He wasn't an elected official, or he wasn't born into being a king in the worldly sense. He wasn't one of the priests who had power over the religious bodies at the time. He wasn't a scribe who interpreted the law. The only authority that he had was the supreme confidence that what he did and said was God's will and God's truth. His authority lay in the sheer power of his word and the example of his great deeds. His authority lay in his living as God's servant and living his life for others to the point of death. So to the world that understood power as coming at the edge of a Roman spear or sword, was someone with power and authority just as commanding and forceful, but without an army, without a weapon, without any markers of the power that the world knew. And then add to the fact that Jesus used his power to love and benefit others. It shows us that this power to do is the most important power that we have. Dostoevsky has a quote that says, "Power is given to only those who dare to lower themselves and pick it up. Only one thing matters, one thing, to be able to dare." We need to dare to pick up this powerful message. We need to back our words of great love with actions of great love for all. We need to rely on the power of the message to carry us. And like the world at Jesus' time, we find ourselves in a world that needs to hear this, needs to hear the teaching, know that the power to change, the power to do what needs to be done. This authentic teaching mixed with power to actually do something. And these two go hand in hand. That's what we have to offer a world that is dying for authentic teaching, real teaching that has the power to do, to change their world and their life. Let us go and do. Amen.